I'm Paul Lancour with podtech.net.
The cultural shocks can be quite significant in the way the people are managing their technology environment and the way they're actually managing the solutions that they're delivering to their clients.
That's Julian Korb, Managing Director within the Financial Services Technology Practice for Bearing Point. He's talking about what organizations face when involved in a merger or acquisition. I started our conversation by asking Julian to outline some of the key challenges associated with technology integration in this environment.
Well, I guess we can start with three key challenges that come to mind. The first one is, I would say, the management of the complexity of the technology environments of the different firms that are merging or that one firm is acquiring the other one. We typically have to face a mix of different technologies with a set of legacy and obsolete environment. There could be very different processes to manage these technologies in the change management or problem management. The different companies will actually address this and manage these environments in very different ways. And we're dealing with two different organizations that potentially structured in different manners. So the first challenge is around the complexity of the technology environment of these two firms and how to manage the integration of these complexities. The second challenge is, I would say, it's around the people and the cultural change. We have seen a lot of mergers in the financial services industries where we see some companies of very different culture merging, or one company acquiring another one. And in the technology space, the cultural shocks can be quite significant in the way the people are managing their technology environment and the way they're actually managing the solutions that they're delivering to their clients. I've been recently working in a merger of a retail bank and an investment bank. The retail bank focuses on the legacy systems, on a very lean organization, focus on cost control, while the investment bank is a more tightly controlled environment, potentially a smaller footprint, focusing on innovation and larger investments. So the cultural shock is also the challenge that our clients are facing. The third challenge would be probably the issue of realizing the target cost savings that the firm would have set. And that's especially true in the technology space, where most of the synergies can be realized and most of the cost savings can be realized. And we see a lot of our clients who are struggling with meeting the deadlines and focusing primarily on the interconnection as opposed to the integration of the two firms are not necessarily focusing early enough in the synergies and in the opportunity for cost savings. And they tend to live actually in technology environment, in a post-merger environment, which is fairly unstable, which is a mix of different technologies, different standards that might not be supported by the vendors anymore, and typically would face some level of challenges to meet the cost savings target.
Well, given the wide range of possibilities there with two different firms, two different cultures, trying to merge it into one, trying to merge their technology into one, it sounds like a pretty complex undertaking. Given the wide range of possibilities with clients you might see, what specific things might you recommend to any client when they're undergoing this? And you already touched on this, but what kinds of things are missing from a lot of clients that are undertaking a project like this?
I think a lot of our clients tend to position strong program managers or project managers to manage the merger environment, but the people in charge of the integration might not have the appropriate technology or business expertise. They are very good in managing large program, but to really be successful, the mergers need to be led, specifically on the technology side, by strong technologists. People would have abilities to manage large program, but who can go deep in the technology environment. How to integrate two different networks, how to integrate a distributed system environment with another one which will be based on a unique environment, the other one on a Windows environment, and how to integrate the different systems so that the application actually can stay stable during the migration activities. So we typically focus on providing technology expertise. That's the first point when the people leading the integration activities. And I think there's another level of what I would call verticalization of this expertise, which is not only the integration leads would know the technology well, but they actually need to know the business as well, the business they are into. So we would position, and what we actually see missing in these integration leaders is not only the technology expertise, but also the business expertise that the firms are into. We've worked recently on the merger of two large asset management firms, and we position some integration leads actually in these merger efforts with people who know how an asset management firm works, how a portfolio manager operates on a day-to-day basis, so that they can really prioritize the activities the right way. They can identify, again, the right opportunities for synergies, where the most cost savings are going to come from, where there are most opportunities for the two different firms to operate under a single name, if you will, in the most effective way and the most efficient way. Frankly, that increases the chance of success of the merger, success being defined from a cost-saving perspective, a smooth integration, and frankly, a lack of disruption of the business, a risk management of the merger integration activities.
So has it been your experience that most organizations need to go outside of their present pool of personnel to satisfy the need for this technological expertise and this business expertise?
Yeah, actually what we've seen is where we've seen the most successful mergers are really where organizations are keeping most of their employees focusing on business as usual activity, so there's no disruption to the business, and leveraging outside help with professional expertise in merger technology integration activities so that you can actually limit the disruption of the BAU or the business usual activities. And we've seen some companies who tend to, specifically if they're smaller, would tend to give to half of their employees some merger responsibilities for multiple reasons, because they want to make everybody feel involved, which is a good reason, but also because if they feel that it's easier to manage the complexity by involving a large number of people, but it tends to actually have an impact on the day-to-day operations. And the BAU activities will suffer from this. I think the challenge that this can represent as well is that these people don't necessarily have expertise in merger integration. And frankly, you train your people in a specific function, which is around merger integration, that you don't necessarily need in-house. As soon as the merger is done, you continue to conduct your business and to focus on the core activities of your business. So the expertise around merger integration is not necessarily needed anymore. So yes, frankly, to answer your question, we tend to recommend to our clients to leverage outside help, and the most successful mergers are conducted with outside help of people who have the right merger integration experience and who can actually eliminate the load of the other employees who are actually conducting the day-to-day operations.
And I suppose no matter how successful you are at mitigating the impact on business as usual of a merger or acquisition, that it becomes the central focus of an organization in a lot of ways. And my question then is, with all of the immediacy surrounding the day that the merger or acquisition hits, what happens to an organization on day two, the day after that happens?
That's actually a key point and a great question, because in a lot of the merger activities that we've seen or that where we have actually helped our clients, they originally tend to focus on day one and how to reach the milestone or the deadline of legal day one, how to interconnect the two companies, looking at the email systems, looking at the Active Directory systems, looking at the different applications that have some overlap and how to merge them so that they can actually operate on day one as one legal entity. But truly what you need to do is you need to start anticipating for day two, which is the day after the merger, before you reach day one. You need to understand what you will need to clean up before the day one happens. You need to understand which cost-saving initiatives you want to launch and how you're going to meet your cost-saving goals in preparation for day one, at the same time you're working on these interconnections or these basic integration activities that are required to meet the legal day one activities. And you also need to put together the day two program, the day two integration programs that will actually focus on the cost savings and the synergies and realizing the benefits of the merger and positioning the firm into a growth mode and a stable environment where they can actually continue to grow and be profitable. You need to really focus on day two and plan for day two before you reach day one so that you can anticipate and accelerate the synergies and the realization of the cost savings as soon as legal day one is behind you.
What kind of things are going on in the world of technology nowadays, particularly, I would imagine, with all the advances in networking technology that make mergers and acquisitions, if not easier, certainly vastly different than they were fairly recently?
That's actually an interesting question, because we see, as opposed to 3, 4, 5 years ago, we see the financial services industry focusing on growth again. And whether it's organic growth or through acquisitions, the business strategy is to grow the company and to increase the footprint and to really continue to actually focus on the different industry or different domains that will foster this growth. And this impacts the technology strategy because the technology strategy results in more investment and focus in new technologies or emerging technologies that provide more scalability and flexibility. And we've seen a series of emerging technologies around voice over IP, around MPLS, for example, in the networking space specifically, the server virtualization concepts or utility computing, SOA, the service-oriented architecture for the application and the different systems, being implemented for this company to be able to scale more and to have more flexibility. And the immediate result is that the merger integration activities are typically easier to perform because you have already the flexibility and the scalability in your technology environment to absorb a new environment or to add a new business to your existing technology space. So the rationalization activities can be more automated, if you will, leveraging these new technologies and the virtualization concept that you've implemented at the infrastructure level as well as at the service or the application level.
And can you compare and contrast for us the approach that a large organization might take, how it would be different from that of a smaller organization to mergers and acquisitions and technology integration?
It's two different challenges and two different responses to these challenges. The large organization has the scale to dedicate more resources and to focus more resources on the integration. At the same time, the complexity of the environment is much bigger. Not necessarily for the complexity of the technologies that are implemented, but the complexity, frankly, resulted in the scale of the environment. So my earlier point around managing the complexity and having to integrate another large organization and another large technology environment supporting another organization adds to the overall challenges that the company will face, even though they have more resources. So large organizations will need to do much more communication across the enterprise for the employees and for the merger integration program itself to syndicate the activities and to make sure everybody goes into the right direction and that the integration initiatives are successful. A small organization, I guess it will want to focus more on stabilizing the day-to-day activities, as we mentioned earlier, the BAU, business as usual activities, operations, by not necessarily focusing too much its employees on the merger because they won't necessarily have the scale to be able to have employees dedicated to the merger at the same time as employees continue to be dedicated to the BAU activities. So very different type of challenges. I think the large companies, the management of the complexity requires much larger programs to be implemented and the program management efforts to be more global and more enterprise-wide. Small organization can continue to focus on the BAU activities and try to, I guess, leverage more additional help or outside help to manage these complexities.
And do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners on how to handle both the technological change and the cultural change of mergers and acquisitions?
Well, frankly, the people thread in the integration effort is a major one. And one of the key elements when you start working on a merger is to start working on the retention plans, especially the retention plans of the talent and the key players in the companies. You need to make sure that the leadership that will be in place will be a mix of the different companies and that the leaders from one company embrace the processes and the activities of the other group. I've seen a lot of mergers when one company is somewhat taking over and not necessarily pay too much attention to the people on the other side. And frankly, you lose the talent you have on the other side and the people just don't enjoy working there because it's just a new environment and they don't feel they fit. So focusing on the people, focusing on the communication, focusing on absorbing the culture of the other environment within your own culture, I think these are key requirements. It's important, I would say, not to announce organization too early so that you benefit from having a set of people that are very much motivated and involved to make the merger successful, maybe not necessarily knowing who is going to take the lead. And at the same time, you work on the retention plans very early so that you understand for the people who might not have the top hand or the top positions to still have a methodology and a plan to provide additional experience or additional opportunities for them to grow within the company.
Julian, thanks very much for taking some time out to speak with us today.
Thank you.
Julian Korb is Managing Director with Bearing Point.